good morning on this Easter Sunday. We do have a risen King and we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the early church, they did a greeting where it was more interactive, and I thought we could do that this morning. The leader would say, "He is risen," and then the people would respond, "He is risen indeed." And so let's do that. He is risen. Let's do it again. I don't know if we got that quite down yet. He is risen. Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online as we celebrate the fact that we have a risen Savior, that he died on the cross and that he was raised to new life. And because of that, we can be raised to new life as well. Well, we do want to thank you for coming to Calendar Bay Church. I'm here at the Welcome Center that we just recently built here at the church. And we do want to welcome you here this morning. Well, we continue to be under restrictions because of COVID-19. The next update that has been set has been for April the 14th, but I'm pretty confident that we are going to be continuing to minister online for the next little while. And so we'll keep you posted as much as we can. You're probably watching the news and keeping updated as best as you possibly can as well. And we just want to make the best of these times. I think really God is teaching us some unique and wonderful things during this time of isolation and pulling away what's important, what's not. And so don't miss the opportunities that God is placing in your path. And so I would encourage you to take this time, get into God's Word, pray, spend time with those that are closest to you. Make sure that you communicate with those that are in your family, extended family, but make sure that you do it in a safe way as we continue to isolate and keep social distancing at the forefront. We do want to encourage people to give online. These are crazy days, and I want to thank those that have been giving. And so thank you so much to each person who has contributed to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church. And we want to suggest that you continue to do that as we have continued expenses even during these times when ministry has changed slightly. And so we would encourage you, go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and go to the About tab, and in there is shows ways that you can give. And so you can do that. Some have mailed their gifts and their tithes to the church. Thank you for doing that. And we just encourage you to continue to give to the work of the church. There's lots of ways that we've been trying to keep connected with people. Number one is through our Facebook group. And so you can go to our Facebook group. There's lots of chances to interact with people, to encourage one another. We've been doing something called Calendar Bay Connects, just kind of like a sharing time. We often have sharing times at church here where you get to encourage one another by saying what God is doing. And so we've been doing some different questions in order to be able to do that. And then we share those also in an email we call the Daily Encouragement. And if you haven't got on that list and you would like to do that, please just let me know. You can call me or you can email me. Probably the email is the easiest way is to email me at info@calendarbaychurch.ca. And so we don't want in this time of isolation for you to feel isolated. Let's stay connected in the many different ways that are offered right now. There's always prayer requests as well. Our prayer chain is continuing to run. All you have to do is email prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. And when you do that, the church will pray for your concerns. It also gives attention to there's a group that is still meeting via phone to pray for people. And so you can get your prayer requests to them as well. So let's continue to pray for one another. We've also been posting some great prayers. Thanks to Patricia Atwood, who has tied us into Pray Ontario, which is a great resource that we've been able to tie into. We also have something called the Worship Playlist to assist you as you worship at home. And so each week we put together a list of songs that ties in for the theme for the weekend. And so you can listen to those. I was using it before the service when we tune in at 10:30 and just to listen to those songs and get my heart ready to be able to receive what God would have for us that morning. And so the link is in the sermon thing. The sermon thing. That sounds really good. These just below the sermon link, and you can tune in on those and listen to those songs. Also, we have something for the kids. We've got the Discovery Bible Study, and those are available online. And so what you can do is click on that resource, and it's a simple little lesson that you can go through with your family and your kids just to encourage the same lesson that we're learning on Sunday morning, but on a level that is appropriate for kids. And so there's often some other resources that you can print off as well. And so those are available on our webpage, CounterBayChurch.ca, and you can use those. Well, we wanted to do something a little bit special because it is Easter Sunday and we are reflecting on the fact of what Christ did for us. And so we're going to be celebrating some time just to be able to remember and have communion together. And so I've prepared a little bit here myself and just got some juice and bread. And so maybe if you want to have an opportunity, we're actually going to have a worship song together. And maybe you didn't have a chance or you didn't see some of the emails and you want to set up and just go to your fridge, grab yourself some juice, a few cups, however many people are there, and some bread. And then we can all be able to share in communion together. But right now, we just want to share a worship song together. This is something new that we're trying. And if you have any feedback that you'd like to give on the services, please let me know. I'd love to hear what you have to say. But right now, we want to take a moment and sing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. What a great thought as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. You know, we want to be able to celebrate together. And one of the things about communion is when Jesus established the Last Supper, or the laying down of communion, he did this before he died. And so he was actually celebrating something that was already on the church calendar, or actually the Jewish calendar at that precise moment. And so he was celebrating the Passover. Now, the Passover, just to give you a little bit of a history, is something that was a part of when they were taken out of Egypt and God delivered them. And so they were under Pharaoh. They were in slavery. And God was delivering them. And so they had this special time when the angel of death was going to be passing over. And in order to be able to protect themselves, they had to put the blood of a lamb on the door frames. And if they did that, they would be protected. And they were celebrating. And so when Jesus was saying they were having the Last Supper, it was actually the Passover that he was celebrating. And it was a time to be able to remember what God had done for them in the past. And so it's really cool that Jesus established the same thing when he was leaving, that he wanted to establish something that would help us to remember. And that's what it is. It's designed to remember. Now, when they were celebrating Passover, this is one of the really great things, is that it was something that it was done when they remembered. It was something that was originally done at home, and it was continued on with the tradition of being at home. And so you're in your home this morning, and in some regards, I think the way that we have institutionalized communion that you celebrated here is kind of missing the point of what Jesus was trying to do. Jesus wanted us to remember, even in our households, which is the way it was originally established, to be able to remember what Christ did. He took simple little things that would be easy reminders that we could pull out in a moment's notice to be able to remember. You know, what were they remembering? Well, they were remembering that they were once slaves. That in Egypt they were slaves, they were beaten, and that's what they were remembering, is that at one point or another they were slaves. And that they were also remembering that a lamb was sacrificed on their behalf so that they could be safe. And so this is what they're remembering. And so I don't know if you can see the image kind of coming through. And they were celebrating the fact that God brought them out of Egypt and he redeemed them. And so he took them to the promised land. And so as we celebrate our story. And our story is that at one point we were slaves to sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we are all sinners. And just as the Passover, they would say, you know what? Once I was a slave, and now God has redeemed me and he's taken me out of that. We do the same thing. We celebrate the fact that we were once slaves to sin, but now we are no longer slaves. We celebrate that Jesus became our sacrificial lamb, that Jesus died on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to. And so as we take these simple elements, what are we doing? We are celebrating that Jesus died on our behalf, and we are celebrating that we have been redeemed, that we have been set free from the power of sin, and that we are now able to move towards our ultimate promised land, which is without we are going to be able to spend eternity with God. And so as we celebrate today, we celebrate the fact, and he took simple little things. He took juice and he took bread. Two simple things that you can find almost in every household everywhere to remind ourselves of the great gift that was given to them on the cross. This was even before the cross, but he used things just that he knew would be able to help us to remember. And so as we take time to remember this morning, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. And every time you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And as we sit in our homes today, let's remember and give thanks to God. Father, thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us so that we could have life, life here on earth and life eternal. And as we eat together, we say thank you, Jesus, for the great cost that you did on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. Jesus also, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This cup represents the new covenant." What does that mean? Kind of the new deal. It wasn't through the sacrifice of animals anymore. It was now through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we could have forgiveness of sins. And as we drink together, we remember and we give thanks for the precious gift that Jesus gave to us on the cross. Heavenly Father, thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that it's for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we drink together, it's with thanksgiving for this wonderful forgiveness that we are whiter than snow because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as we drink together, it's with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Jesus, when he finished the Lord's Supper, it says that they sang a hymn and then they went on their way. And I was thinking of the little chorus, "There is a Redeemer." And I thought, you know, why don't we sing that together? Maybe you don't know it. I'll sing it. And it's very simple, but we'll sing it through it twice. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Amen. Well, we started a series of messages last week looking at Jesus and who is this man? And the subtitle of it is that the unpredictable impact of the inescapable Jesus. And we talked about how Jesus has been the greatest person in history. And we looked at that a little bit closer. But today we want to talk about the fact that there is a second revolution. And that second revolution took place on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. Because the start of Christianity can be traced to one day. And that day is the day that we celebrate today. The resurrection, Easter Sunday, is a day where everything changed. There was no church, there was no Christianity, or as they called it originally, they called the movement the Way. There was none of that, and then after the resurrection began the beginnings of God's plan that had been laid down from the beginning, the plan to be able to change the world. And it all started on one day, and that's the day we celebrate today. Let's take a look at a passage of Scripture. Now, just to lead up to this, there's Good Friday has happened. This is Sunday morning. The women have gone to the tomb, and they've met an angel at the tomb, and now they're on their way back. And as they're on their way back, they bump into Jesus. And so this is what it says in Matthew 28, 8 to 10. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And so here these women have had an interaction with the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus gives them greetings. It's the first thing he says to them after they have watched him die. The women were there at the cross. They watched him die. They watched him get wrapped. They watched him get buried into the ground. And then all of a sudden they have this interaction with the risen Jesus. And Jesus says to them, greetings. It's a little bit of an understated entrance. Something incredible and miraculous has just happened. And Jesus goes, greetings. The language is almost one like saying, hey, how you doing? Like it's very understated in comparison to what has just unfolded and taken place. And it's almost as if he's saying to them, well, what did you expect? I kind of did this. I told you I was going to. What did you expect? It's almost like, you know, nobody likes an I told you so, but in some regards, didn't I tell you? You know, he had been hinting through his teaching, and we're actually going to look at some of that teaching, the teaching of the resurrection that took place before the resurrection even happened. Jesus was talking about it. He had hinted at it. He had been showing them some of these truths. And yet, here they are. A little girl was once asked, this was in like a Sunday school class, asked what was Jesus's first words to his disciples after the resurrection. What was the first words? And her response was beautiful. She said, ta-da! You know that I did it. I pulled it off. I'm here. And it's just this incredible, you know, experience that they had of Jesus kind of understated coming to them and expressing what he had done. Because the resurrection changed everything. It changed, you know, as we look at it from the fact that there was no church, there was no Christianity, and then there was. That it changed everything. But in some regards, it may have not changed it in the ways that we often think it has. You know, in many regards, we look at the resurrection as kind of a comfort story. That it's you know, the feel-good end of the story. It's, you know, the victorious win-win story. And it is that. But at that precise moment, I don't know if the disciples and the women were experiencing that to the same extent that we do now 2,000 years later. You know, we kind of view it as kind of a happily ever after, you know, that now we have victory over the grave. We have victory over these things. And so it's kind of this happily ever after story. And in some regards, it just helps us to be able to kind of, you know, now we can whistle past the graveyard. And so it's kind of this happy story. But in their story, it was maybe not so much. The general response at the first Easter and the following days afterwards was generally pretty much fear. Says that the women were afraid, the disciples were afraid, everybody was really kind of scared. Now, why would that be? Here they have their risen Savior in front of them. Why would they be scared? Well, part of it is because Jesus died on the cross because of the Jewish leaders and the Romans put him to death because they wanted his movement to stop. And now all of a sudden, their leader was back again. And so there was some fear that went along with it. And so we want to look at what was the message to the original people who were there? What was the message that was being given? Well, the message was that the cross was a resounding success and failure at the same time. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it was a resounding success because it was achieving God's greater purposes. And so from our perspective, we see that this is something that is a great, great win. It's a win for the kingdom of God. It's a win for us. It's a win-win everywhere. But the other side of it is the plan to stop the movement had failed. And so here you have the Jewish leaders would consider that the cross was a failure because it didn't eliminate him. It was a failure to the Romans because they wanted to squash him and stop him. And so it was a resounding failure from their perspective. And in some regards, what was the message? Well, the message was now that the world has to contend with his followers. That his followers took on a far more significant role than they had before. Before, the movement was mainly Jesus and his followers, but now with Jesus gone, the followers moved to the forefront. And so the message of Easter is one that moves us to the forefront. And we're going to delve into that a little bit deeper. Talked about the Great Revolution. Well, history says that there's been revolutions throughout history. There have been all sorts of different revolutions. The French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the American Revolution. And so there's always been all these different kinds of revolutions. But one historian by the name of Ian Pitt Watson said that there have been two great revolutions in the history of mankind that changed it irreversibly and forever. And so he says that there are two of them that happened. And probably they're not the ones that you're going to think that they are. But they're very important. Listen to what the first one is. The first one was when someone started to farm. Now, you're thinking, that's not very revolutionary. Well, in its time frame, it was. The first revolution, humans generally started off as hunter-gatherers. And so they would just basically go wherever the food was. And so they would kind of move around where it was very nomadic. And so they would just kind of move with the food. Now, somebody, somewhere along the way, instead of eating the food, decided to take that food and plant it in the ground. Now, to most of us, that doesn't seem like a very risky move. But if I was hungry and I had the opportunity to eat it or throw it in the ground, you know what? That might change the game a little bit. If it's like, oh man, I'm gonna take what could be my lunch and I'm gonna plant it in the ground instead. And what happened was is that the seed was planted in the ground, it died, and then ta-da, there's new life that happens because of it. And so what you bury in the ground, even though it was small in amount, now grows and develops, and then you get a lot more in return. And so the first revolution, basically, the world is never the same. It gave the opportunity for people to not move around. They began to establish society. They began to build homes. It changed the world as we know it. This one revolution that instead of going here and going with the food, you stopped, you stayed, you built. And so basically modern society is built because somebody decided to stop, risk it, plant it, and then ta-da, we have new life. The second revolution in many regards is what we're celebrating today. Easter is the second revolution that changed the history of mankind irreversibly and forever. You're saying that's it? The two revolutions are farming and the resurrection? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it involves the same principles as the first revolution. Now, this is what I found to be extremely, extremely fascinating. I hope you're going to find it as fascinating as I thought it was fascinating. But the principles of the first revolution and the second revolution are basically the same. And Jesus taught this before he died. And so as he was dying, before he died, he laid down these same principles. And I hope you'll see the connection between the first revolution and the second revolution. This is what it says in John 12, 23 to 25. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain, a kernel of wheat, falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Okay, so Jesus is laying down this a farming illustration to describe what is taking place over Good Friday and into Easter Sunday. The second revolution is, Jesus says, there's coming a time. He says, he's looking ahead. He says, there's coming a time when the seed has to be planted. And probably his disciples are going, don't know, what does that exactly mean? But Jesus is using himself as the illustration that there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to be like the seed. And in order for seeds to grow, they have to be put into the ground and they have to die in order for new life to happen. And so Jesus was saying, I am the one seed that needs to die in order for this new life to begin to happen. And out of the seeds, which is Jesus' death and resurrection, will come this new life. So there's a new life that is coming, but it has to happen after the seed is planted into the ground. And because of this happening, the world is never, ever going to be the same. Because Jesus gave his life, like the seed has to go into the ground and die. Because Jesus died and was put into the ground, out of that comes the opportunity for life change for here and now and into eternity. That out of that new life, the church is going to be birthed, and the world is going to be changed forever because of this gift that God gave us in being the seed planted in the ground so that the new life can come. This is what it says. Then Jesus told his disciples, this is Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so this revolution that takes place because of Jesus dying on the cross and being raised to new life, Jesus says that this personal revolution needs to take place because of that second revolution. It says that you need to follow Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, you take up your cross and you follow him. This is really fascinating again because Jesus is talking about this taking up your cross before he even went to the cross. And so they're probably thinking that's kind of funny. And it was probably afterwards that the lights went on and they say, we're following Jesus. Just like he went to the cross and he died, we have to take our cross and follow him, and we have to be prepared to die. You are the seed that needs to die. What does that mean? Well, because Jesus wants us to be brought into new life, we have to bring our old life and bring it to the cross and let it die. because it's out of that that we're going to have the new life come. And so it says that because we come to the cross, we take up our cross and we follow Jesus to that point, and we lay down our life to him, that out of that laying down and dying, that we are raised up to new life. This is the image of baptism. When you are baptized, I'll use my little clicker as the example. So this is you. You know, it's that the picture of you outside the water is you. You're dead in your sins. And then it says that we are buried with Christ. That's when we go into the water. And when we come out of the water, it symbolizes that we have been raised to new life. That's the image. And so when we are baptized, we are saying, yeah, I made a decision to follow Jesus. I was once dead in my sins, but then I was buried with Christ through his death on the cross. And like the seed died and went into the ground, now I come out of the ground and I am raised to new life. And that is the image that baptism holds. And it's going back to that same revolutionary thing that happened. The seed had to die. It died and it came up into new life. And so here we have this incredible image of what we need to do in response to what Jesus did for us. And so he laid the example, and then we have to follow suit in this personal revolution ourselves to follow Jesus. John Ortberg says this. He says, what got released on Sunday was hope. Hope that called people to die. Die to selfishness and sin and fear and greed. Die to the lesser life of a lesser self so that the greater self might be born. What an incredible image that Jesus calls us to set aside the lesser life. The life of selfishness, the life of trying to do things in my own strength. And he says, we take on, when we step into a relationship with Christ, the greater life. And so we are called to life. And this is what Jesus teaches us so clearly. Throughout his life, he kept giving us life images. And he says, if anybody wants to live, they have to lay down their life. And so he says the path to life is to lose it. The only way that we are going to find life in Christ is as if we lay down our old life to follow him. Paul says, for me to live is Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that if we want to really find life, life that is full and has meaning, it is only going to be found in Christ. And Jesus himself says that life and purpose and power are found. As Jesus is being ascended into heaven, he says to his disciples, I'm going to leave you power through the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and I want you also to go into all the world and tell the world to be my disciples and baptize them. And so he says, I'm going to leave here. And as I do that, what am I going to do? I'm going to empower you to have this incredible life. And what is that life? The life is to live on purpose for him. That we're to go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we're to do. That's what Jesus empowered us to do. That's the power of the resurrection, is that his life is unfolding in us and that we are to bring the messages, a message of Jesus to the world. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not just a feel-good message. It's a message of empowerment that Jesus left us in order to be able to bring the message to the rest of the world. And for generations and generations, for 2,000 years, the church has been bringing the message of Jesus. And Jesus says that when you come into a relationship, that he says that you will have life and you will have life abundantly. That verse in John 10:10 says is that the thief comes only to steal and kill. You know, this life that we have apart from Christ is just going to steal away everything. But Jesus says you can find a life that is to the full, that you can find life that is abundant. But it only comes as we lay down our life. We take up our cross and we follow him and we die to self, and then we learn and we're raised to new life. And that new life is the one of power and purpose. And Jesus says, not only that, you're going to have this abundant life of power and purpose. But he says that in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. And so we are moving on this journey towards eternal life. He gives us a glimpse of what is to come, but we are moving towards eternal life. But on that journey along the way, we are to live our lives fully and completely for him. I thought we would close off this morning by singing another little chorus. The message of Easter, although it has these wonderful risen Savior victory type of things, is really a call to die ourselves so that we can have a resurrection to a new life in him. That he created through his death and his resurrection a way for us to die to ourselves and die to this life so that we can have abundant life, full life, a purposeful life, a power-filled life. God is calling us to life, full life. And that's the life that was promised as a part of the resurrection. Now we get the rest, we get the victory over death, we get all those things as well. But the real call of the resurrection is a call for your resurrection. A call for you to die to self so that you can gain a new life that you can never lose. And so this Easter, I want to give you the challenge. You know, maybe you've just been kind of floundering in life and you've not fully committed yourself. I'm going to pray that God is going to help you to be able to live your full life now, full life of following Christ. And so as we sing this together, make it your prayer that you would fully and completely surrender your life to him, and so that the personal resurrection of his life coming through us would be seen everywhere. Let's sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Well, as we conclude things this morning, we celebrate the fact that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And we can be raised to new life ourselves, a life that can follow him. And so let's pray together. Father, I thank you for each person who is listening right now or will listen at a later point to this message. That, Father, your resurrection is calling us to a deeper level of commitment to you. That you want us to die to our sins, to be buried with you in your death. And like the seed grows to new life, Father, you want us to grow into this new life that we can have in Christ. And so, Father, we pray that your empowering would be upon us. It says in your word that you will leave your spirit to empower us. And we pray, Father, that you would empower us to live fully and completely for you, to be able to bring your message, that we would be able to go into all the world and bring the message of Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, want to pray a rich blessing on you this Easter season. I pray that you would have just a time of being able to reflect and remember on what Jesus did on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Good Friday, his death. Easter Sunday, raised to new life. God bless you as you go through your week. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hi, everybody. This is what now is probably going to be more popular than my sermons. This is now officially known as the blooper reel or the conversation fill-in at the end. I was wanting something to just kind of fill in at the end. And so I thought, well, I'll do this for like 5 minutes. I'll come up with something. And so last week I threw balls off my head. Well, this week I thought I would try something different. And we'll see how it goes. I think this is probably going to become more popular than my actual sermons, which is kind of disappointing, but oh well, I'll live with it. Anyway, so I'm just going to go get set up over here. This is my remake of the Lawrence Welk show. If you remember the Lawrence Welk show, it was a show where there was big band music and dancers and stuff like that. Anyway, but one of my favorite things was that it had bubbles. So this is John's remake with Norman the Dancing Bear. Okay. Thing number one, bubbles. All right, and we need some music. And ladies and gentlemen, Norman the Dancing Bear. Actually, he's a gopher. I forgot. He's a gopher. It's not a bear. Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming to Norman's first dance recital. Thank you for all being a part of it. Hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful Easter.